Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We've been examining what our society and what our culture says about love, and then comparing that to God's definition of love and what we see throughout Scripture. Now, just kind of consider a few things as we start. Let's look at the Scripture in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. We started here last week. We're going to go a little further now. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, so we already know what's going to happen next, okay, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Verse 38, this is the great and first commandment. Now we're going to go on with 39. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. It's interesting to know that that God gave Moses 10 commandments. These were given specifically for the relationship with God and our relationship with each other. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. The second six relationships deal with our relationships to one another and how to have a healthy society. Now, okay, our righteousness does not come from following the law. Our righteousness comes to us by grace through faith and what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. So Jesus makes this crazy statement. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Mark's account says, "with all your strength." I kind of like that added in. That this is primary. This is the number one thing, but don't stop there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is the amazing part. When you focus on these two things, guess what? You're going to fulfill the other 10. Now, on these 10 commandments, there were 613 laws to help you follow. 613 laws that were created to help you follow the 10 commandments. How many of you like golf? Okay, how many of you are golfers or you enjoy that? All right, we're going to try something here today. No one's got like breaking objects here. I want to try something here today. Okay, you ready? Okay, you ready? So the deal is, someone panicked for just a second. He thought, "I know he's crazy, but is he that crazy?" Yep. The deal is this. My brother-in-law, Tim Moreland, several years ago, when I actually had time to golf, gave me a few golf lessons. He actually purchased for me a series of golf lessons. And so I went to the golf pro, and I sat down, and it started like this. He said, "I tell you what, here's a bucket of balls. Let me watch you swing." And about the third ball that I hit, I heard this. "Ooh, boy." I don't know if he's speaking in tongues, what the deal was. It was, "Ooh, boy." And he took a big breath and he said, "How many lessons do you have?" And I was like, "Four." And he goes, "Okay, where to start?" So a real encouraging guy. And he began to break down and he said, "Okay, I want to really talk to you about your grip. And then I want you to talk about your alignment. I want to talk about your stance and your ball placement. And then your slow back. Oh, you need to slow down your backswing. It needs to be smooth. And then there has to be a transition. And then I need you to follow through smoothly your strike zone. And let's look on your follow through." And he gave me all of these things to do. And then a few weeks later, my brother-in-law called and said, "Hey, let's go golfing in St. Louis." And he took me to this course called Cherry Hills. Now, Cherry Hills on a Saturday, everybody wants to golf there, and so you have a gallery of people waiting on the first tee. A whole gallery of people who've got nothing better to do than to watch you play golf. Not very nice, I might add. And so I approach the first tee. And I kind of begin to go, this is what goes through my head. Okay, grip, is my grip, okay, is my grip, is my stance, my ball placement, do I have this? Okay, am I following through right, am I doing that? What do you think happened with all that going through my mind? Well, to add this, I golf kind of like I do everything. I have the Serena Williams, as I, and I tried, I had all this stuff going through my mind, all of these different thoughts and these different rules, and I swung, and I didn't hear the, so I knew something was wrong. Luckily, no one else heard it because I had the, and I realized the ball was still sitting on the tee. I'm not kidding. Now, the good news is I didn't fall on the ground, but I did what every good preacher would do then. I acted as if it was a practice swing. I was just stretching out. Now we're really in for it. And so I got up, the next hit, I hit it right off the toe of the club and sent it 45 degrees, just missed the golf cart, to which my brother-in-law grabbed me by the shirt and said, hop in, that'll play. We left the tee box with a large divot and most of my self-respect and went on down to the fairway, actually, where I dropped the ball and we continued going. A little about the third hole, it was painful. One of the other people in the foursome came up and said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I'm thinking of da-da-da-da. And he said, hey, here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. Just hit the snot out of the ball. That's it. I was like, okay. And that's all I thought about. The ball. I just focused on the ball. Now, I did not turn into Jack Nicklaus. No way. But it was at least I could get through the remainder of the day with a level of self-respect. It worked all right. It was amazing how many things were going through my mind, and it really just needed to be simple. You know, Jesus is looking at this entire process, and he's like, guys, I need to get your thought process right. We're going to make it real simple. Everybody say simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor yourself. Really, really simple. But as I thought about my 80s, my love for 80s music, in the words of Foreigner, I want to know what love is. What does it mean to love God? Well, if you've been with us the past several weeks, we've broken that concept down. We've begun to unpack that. Because if I want to love God, there's a specific way. It's God's love. It's this agape love. And if you weren't with us, go online and listen. You can kind of catch up. But now for us, how do we love one another? Because the way we love one another, we're pretty comfortable with a brotherly love, a camaraderie love. We're pretty good at having a commonality, a hobby where we can be passionate about. But that's not agape love. That's not the way that God is calling us. We're not even supposed to love one another with that storge, with that family love, that familial love, like a parent for their child, which is a great love. It's a wonderful love. But that is not how we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to love one another with an eros love. You know, that's that passionate sexual love. No, that's gross. Okay, we're going to go past that. We're supposed to love one another with agape love. Everybody say agape love. God's love. So today we're going to unpack, what does it mean to love our neighbor? How are we really supposed to love our neighbor? Now, as I was preparing the message, my points are really similar to last week's points. So if you're here, they're going to kind of make sense. You'll be able to track with us. Point number one is this. God knows the authenticity of our love for our neighbor. Let's look at the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. There's a lot of people who are following Jesus for many reasons, some because of his miracles, some because of the wisdom of his teaching. They were receiving blessings by being near him. Mark 10, 17 says, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him. Now, does this sound like a good guy? I mean, obviously, he's got passion. You know, we check Wayne's box, passion. He's excited. How many of you got up and ran to church? I'm not going to ask how many of you drug yourself to church. I don't want to know that. But yeah, he got up and he's like, yeah, I want to go see Jesus. Yeah. So this is a good dude. This is a good guy. And he said to him, he knelt. He was humble. He came before. He was running. He's humble. He comes down and he says, okay, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? You know what's interesting here? You've heard me say it umpteen times. In Scripture, God never asks a question to gain information as if he did not already know. The only reason that God asks questions is not so he can figure something out. It's so that we can figure something out. It started back in the garden. Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? God knew where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where Adam was. And for us and for this man, you know, Jesus wasn't saying, hey, I need you to enlighten me on some things. He was wanting him to ponder this question. Why do you call me good? You know what? That's the real foundation for all of us to understand agape love. Why do you love God? If your answer is, I love God because things are going well in my life, kiddo, you're missing the big point. On the flip side, if you're saying, I love God because everything was going bad in my life and then, you know, he was still there, well, then you're still missing part of the reason for agape love. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. What's the next word there? God alone. God alone. So this is a guy. He's a good guy. He's a humble guy. He's got his stuff together. He's pursuing Christ. And yet he said, look, there's no one good except God alone. Come on, say it. Alone. As if maybe there's a plurality in his life. Let's go on here. He then says, you know the commandments. Now, was Jesus saying, here's how you get eternal life. You follow the Ten Commandments? No, that's not what Jesus was saying. That's not what Jesus was endorsing. He was endorsing, in fact, something greater. Because this guy, he knew he was keeping the Ten Commandments. And he came back and said, all right. You know the Ten Commandments. The question is, there's no one good except God alone. Track with me here. And he says, here are the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. By the way, the six that he listed were the six having to do with man. He didn't touch the four that have to do with God, which is really what the problem is. And I want to tell you this. When you have a problem with your love for God, it's going to play out in your love for mankind. And so this man responded, hey, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus did not. Everybody got to see this. Jesus did not disagree with this rich young ruler. He did not discount what he said. He said this. And Jesus looked at him, loved him. Why is that important? Because he loved him enough to tell him the hard thing. He loved him enough to say, you know what? There's some other things going on in your heart right now. You're a good guy. I mean, people and pastors, I've heard message upon message upon message about the character flaws of the rich young ruler. I'd like to kind of do the flip side. He was a good guy. And I dare say he was a model church member. But he still wasn't in right place with God. You know, you can be a good church member and have your relationship with God not exactly right. People do it all the time. You learn how to put your church mask on. You learn how to be the first person at the bazaar, the first person at the chicken fryer, the first person at the whatever it is. We serve well, we act well, but in the bottom line, our relationship with God is based on doing, not on who he is. Jesus looked at him, he loved him, and he said to him, you lack one thing. Now, he didn't go back to the commands. Here's what he said. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Said, you've done all these things. You've done all these things. You've kept the law. But now I want to challenge something. How about sacrifice? Everybody say sacrifice. How about surrender? Oh, you all said that. I didn't want it, but that's actually sounded really well. Such a good church. Good church today. Agape does not say, here I am, and I'm going to do something to maximize their investment. Now, this is not a message. I'm not going to have an offering at the end of this message so everybody can take a deep breath. Because some of you are like, I've been hearing rumors that they want to do something to the building. This is a prelude to that. No, it's not. No, trust me, it's not. The deal is what it is talking about what's really going on in our heart. And people can, you know, people get funny when you talk about money. But the truth is, you want to know where your heart is? Look at where your treasure is. That's what Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's really where your heart is. And here, you know, he's a good guy. He's following the commandments. He's running after Jesus. He's humble. He's kneeling before him. And Jesus says, hey, you're doing all this. But there's something, because you're not realizing except God alone. And I can really infer from this that there's some other things going on. He loved his treasure. Now, I don't think that God cares if you have money. I think God vastly cares if money has you. And here's the challenge. We are, for the most part, and I don't mean this offensive. I really don't mean this offensive, but, you say but because now here comes the other side. We really are selfish. I mean, if I want to be honest, we really are selfish. And it's in our society. We, in pretty much in the Western society, our Western culture, we're really prosperous. In fact, we're probably the greatest level of prosperity ever. And I know that there's wealth inequality. I totally understand all those things. I get it. I'm not trying to talk a political economic thing right now. I'm saying we, and I can say every person in this room, we're blessed. And we are prosperous. And with that, with living in the culture that we live in, there is a level of selfishness. Would you agree with that? That we're selfish. I'm selfish. I don't want to be. Here's the problem. Okay, another example. When I was a kid, there wasn't something called a selfie. And now, it's like standard operating procedure for like everybody. How many of you, though, let's say, how many of you guys have ever taken a selfie? Okay, so I got about 60%. Having dinner. No one eats warm dinner anymore because I got to take a picture. Here's me with my spaghetti. Oh, my hair is out of place. It was way out of place, baby. My hair, I don't know where it is. Okay, no, this is my better side. Oh, we'll get the meatballs here. Okay, there we go. Yeah, and then I'll post it and everyone has to see what's going on. And it's this whole narcissistic, selfish thing. Why are you spending time on this? Because selfishness flies in the face of agape. And we live in a culture that tells us to be selfish, self-centered. It's about you. Newsflash, you are not the most important person in eternity. Now, in God's eyes, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, and that doesn't mean that you're not the apple of his eye, because you are. But in terms of everybody else, there's a little more balance here. And this is why we struggle with love, and this is why we struggle with agape love, and we confuse it so much with all these other loves, with familial love, with storge, with eros, with erotic love. We mix it up with camaraderie, with our brotherly love, with all these other things. We don't quite get it. And Jesus is saying, hey, guy, you're functioning well in the church. You're a good guy. You're following the commandments. You're doing all these things. Here's the litmus test. Are you willing to not be selfish? Are you willing to give what you have to the poor? And here's what he said. Nope. I'm going away sad. Agape is the highest form of obedience. You see, and a lot of you right now, you're like, I'm not advocating that you walk out here right now and go empty your checking accounts. That's not where I'm going. What I'm advocating is when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, do you negotiate him down? Because I got to be honest with you, many times I do. Simple things that don't cost me, man, I'm on board. And then I feel good and take a selfie about how I'm serving the Lord today. But look, I'm going to be as honest with you as I can. When it comes to extravagant measures of sacrificial giving, which, by the way, that's agape, I really want to reason with God, because after all, I better keep myself financially stable so that I can take care of the church. We have many people who've decided that they're God's banker. I got to keep myself going, because after all, if I'm not able to support the church, then what's going to happen? Trust me, God can take care of it. Because after all, everything we have is God's, isn't it? Is everything you own God's? You got to remedy that. And when you remedy that, then you realize that you're actually managing His, and it's a whole lot easier. I think that there are times in my life I have talked myself out of knowing God as my provider by continuing to be my provider myself. Goes to point two. Point two is this. We're called to love our neighbor the way that God loves us. So the big question then, who is our neighbor? I know a few weeks ago we unpacked this. Who is our neighbor? They asked Jesus about who your neighbor is, and He tells the story of the Good Samaritan. It's not the person who lives next door. It's not the person who you really agree with. It's not the person, you know, we think our neighbors are the people immediately next to us. No, your neighbor is greater. Your neighbor is whoever you come in contact with. That's your neighbor, according to Jesus' definition. Well, I'm happy to give to those who think like me, who have the same preferences as I have, who are in the same social circle, who maybe are close by, who are in the same political party. Oh no, I'll give to them, but boy, you're one of those other people on the other side of the aisle. Yeah. Bottom line is, maybe, brothers and sisters, God is orchestrating the affairs of your life so that He can take His love and impact them. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to fill you with His love so that you can share it. Mark chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. A lot of us think, well, what about sinners? You know what? God loves sinners. You know what type of love God has for sinners? Agape love. Well, no, God loves the church a lot more than He loves, with a different type of love than He loves people who don't have all their act together. That's not what Romans 5:8 says. That's not what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that He demonstrated, Romans 5:8, that He demonstrates His love to sinners, that while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. So here we go. Just like the Good Samaritan, Jesus instructs us that we are to represent His love to whoever path we may cross. Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. How many of you like that one? I mean, honestly, I kind of enjoy that one. Love, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I'd like to hate my enemy. Oh, you are so holy today. No, not me, Pastor. I love everyone who does wrong to me. I'm going to remind you, I have a club. I don't really know how to use it, but I swing loudly. All right. But I say to you, love your enemies. Look, here's what I'm telling you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't just pray for them. Love them as well. Verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. All the ladies in the room says, aha, I'm exempt. I'm a woman. I'd be a daughter. No, you're not. It's not a gender specific word that He's using there. So that we may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know why this is important to know agape? Agape is not based and founded and limited to emotion. In other words, you can dislike somebody, but you're not exempt from loving them. You can dislike their actions. That does not mean that you hold back love. There can be someone who's actively involved in living a horrific lifestyle that you know is not in concert with the Word of God. You do not go tell them about how what a horrible individual they are. You are called to love them. You do not change your heart by arguing with people. You don't change someone's heart by arguing. You change your heart by God's love. By the way, you don't change their heart. God changes their heart. And that's a huge thing for us, guys. So how do we do that? Let's land this plane, conclude our message today. Third point. It's God's love in us that allows us to boldly love our neighbor. You know what I love? Is that when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Now, remember what we said last week in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from where? God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So we know that God is love, that love comes from God. So it's in us, it's not from us. I would say it's kind of foreign because I'm selfish, like I said once again. But God's love is not. So I have a choice. Everybody say choice. You got a choice to love or not to love. And every day you have that choice. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit inside of you will prompt you and will lead you and will empower you to do things far beyond what you think you can do yourself. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, and that word's agape, if God had agape love, had selfless love, had a love that looked to give outside of emotion, we also ought to love one another in that same way. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. We see that with the rich young ruler. Jesus is challenging him. Hey, are you demonstrating agape love to your brothers? I'm paraphrasing what he asked. Hey, go sell your possessions, give to the poor. I'm endorsing that action. And he resisted. And the big question is why? And we can answer that question with, why do you call me good? There is none but good except God alone. Your money doesn't make your life good. Your blessings don't make your life good. Your family, they're wonderful, they're great, they're super, but that's not the only thing that makes your life good. It's a wonderful blessing. It enriches it. There's one that's good, and it is God. Chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, as we conclude. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, when God prompts us by His Holy Spirit. So here's the hard part. You know, how many of you today, you want to love your neighbor the way that God wants you to? Did anybody want that today? Okay, you want to love God the way that God wants you to? You want to love your neighbor? Now the whole church is falling apart back there. That's all right. I know, it's a difficult concept. But the deal is there. You're going to have to let some things go. To love the way that God wants us to, we're going to have to give some things up. Grudges, selfishness, self-centeredness, fear, past hurt, whatever, moreover, whatever the Holy Spirit, everybody say whatever. Whatever the Holy Spirit requests, that's what we give. Paul says not out of compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And guys, I really, really want us to know. So, you know, some of you are like, hey, when I walk out this door, if some person comes up to me and says, hey, give me your house and your money and your car, do I just give it to them? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when God requests anything, will you respond with a yes, Lord? I love you more. Or will you walk away angry and sad? We got the choice how we respond, how we love. And I get that this feels extreme, but it really is not. Because, as we said before, everything we have really is God's anyway. The big issue is not those things. The big issue is actually your heart. That's what God is after. So, everybody, would you please stand here for a moment as we conclude our message today and invite the worship team. Church, I want to ask you a question. Why do you call Him good?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.